Lord, thank you for the unction today that we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Lord, I know to those that don't believe, it is foolishness. But I thank God, happy is the man whose confidence is in the Lord. Happy is the man who trusts in the truth. Happy is the man whose love and life is Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you again for what's written upon our hearts that believe you. You are the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by you. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, thank you that we believe. And we give you all the praise, the honor, the glory. And it's all because of the grace of God that's with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise be to God. We'll begin today in Philippians 3. One of my favorite, and I know many favorite passages in the Word of God here in Philippians 3. Verse 12, Brother Paul making this sweet, oh my goodness, I don't even know what you call it, just heart beyond expression of the desire of the word of his grace working and abounding in this brother's heart. And he says here in the 12th verse of the 3rd chapter of Philippians, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brother Paul says this approximately 30 years after that time that he met the Lord on the road to Damascus, when the Lord shone so brightly that it even took his eyesight for some time. This is 30 years after that. After many statements had come across Paul's heart, knowing that he was seated together in the heavens in Christ, knowing that he is a son of God, knowing that nothing could separate him from the love of Christ. But here again, at basically knowing that it is the end of his time upon this earth, he's not talking about building great cathedrals or doing great works for men. He's not even speaking in a sense to a congregation. This gets real intimate about the one thing that mattered to Paul, and that was Jesus in his life. And in that, even though he knew that he could never be separated from the love of God, even though he knew that in that faith, that moment of believing Christ Jesus, he was seated forever in the heavens with Christ, he makes this precious statement, not that I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, this is the bridal embrace that Paul is speaking of. He knew that there was nothing that could separate him from the love of God. He knew that his eternal security was just that, it was eternal. He knew that the everlasting life that Jesus gave to him the moment that he asked Jesus into his heart was just what Jesus said, everlasting. That means it doesn't end. It's the seed that remaineth, and Christ cannot deny himself. Praise God. But that he would apprehend. And I love this because that word apprehend, it also means that he would comprehend. That he would comprehend. And Ephesians 3:18, the same word in the Greek is used in this 18th verse of Ephesians chapter 3. Paul makes the statement that we may be able to comprehend. That's the same word as apprehend. That we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know or comprehend the love of Christ. Amazing. Praise be to God. So wonderful here. But yet here in Philippians 3, that we would comprehend Christ in us as he comprehends us. That we would apprehend him as we are already apprehended of Jesus Christ. It means the same as that we would comprehend Christ in us as he comprehends us. Basically, that we would know Christ in us as he knows us. See, it brings the thought of 1 Corinthians 13:12. I love this. To know as even I am known. To know as even I am known by him. And oh, what he knows in Christ in me, the hope of glory. Oh, what he knows in me, that I should grow up into him in all things. Amen. Yes, praise God, that I would know that. Possess it by faith. As that faith, praise God, possesses me. Christ lives in me. This precious truth, the word of the Lord, lives in me. Christian, lives in you. Amen. Now see, when we were born of God, brothers and sisters, and for those who might not understand that expression, no, not every person is born of God. God is not in everybody. God comes into you one way, and that's by faith in Jesus Christ. That's when a life is born of God. That's where the expression born again comes from. The truth of confessing Jesus Christ as Lord. But at the moment a life accepts Christ as Savior, the moment a life is born of God, that life is born with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. That life has everything. That life isn't just a part life. It isn't just a type of life. It is the very life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that comes to live in your life. Just like it says in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. The moment I accept Christ Jesus as my Savior, I die. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it's not I that live. This life I live in the flesh, it's Christ that liveth in me. Amen. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me because Christ liveth in me. So, once again, born of God, I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. How could we not understand that even in our own lives? That when a child is born, it's just like the royalty that they have over there in England. They have an appropriate way of how the royalty is passed down. And it's not by, well, we'll choose this one or this one. No, it is by birth. It's by birth. And that birth does it. That bloodline does it. And praise be to God, God right here is telling us that in that bloodline, his blood, we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ. Now, we were not just born to be kings. Did you know that? We were not born to be kings. We are born kings. We're born kings. Oh, so many of God's children want to be a servant. But I got news for you, children of the king. You're kings. See, it's his very life. I want you to think about something. Was he not born and they said, King of kings and Lord of lords? How could his life be anything different? You're born kings. Yes. Galatians 4:1 tells you that. And let's understand this. He is very God of very God. Absolutely. But I have his life. Because he gave it to me. By faith. Amen. But in Galatians 4:1 it says that a child of God is a little lord of all. Amen. To define that for you, you're a king. You're not a servant. But as it goes on to say, even though you're born a king, if you remain in that state of the mental that I'm just a servant and don't grow up into the inheritance of what God truly has given you in the life of his son that lives in you, you will have no more knowledge in that kingdom than the knowledge of a servant, even though you were born a king of it all. I want to believe what he tells me I should believe. How about you? I don't want to believe how it makes me feel good in some way, shape, or form that I am some type of a martyr myself. He was the one that took it all on the cross for me. He took my sin. Hallelujah. He bore all the stripes for me, and especially the stripe of death. Now, even though, brothers and sisters, we are not servants but kings, we must grow up and understand our royalty and our inheritance. See, without that understanding and comprehension, as we started here, of Christ in you. See, most Christians understand, yes, the life of Christ lives in me, yes. But do you know the scripture that Christ in you, the hope of glory? Have you ever thought and sat there to meditate? What in the world does that mean? Well, I believe all through the scriptures he tells you exactly what it means. Christ in me is the hope of glory. We are the sons of God. And I will have to tell you again, and I'm so thankful to God, it's all by his grace. Both my sons are here today. There isn't anything that excited me more about my sons than to see them grow up. To see them to grow into the maturity and continue on in every bit and fiber of what you do believe as you raise and train up a child that they should be. I don't like to say the word could be. Should be. Amen. And there's a lot of responsibility in that. You know that? Thing called pressure. That's how diamonds are made. Did you know that? Diamonds don't just flip out there in jello. Nope. Diamonds come from pressure. Heat. Unbearable. Burns everything else out. But then at the end, oh my, and especially the most precious ones, all you got left is the pure diamond. But see, without that understanding, the comprehension of Christ in you, the hope of glory, without the comprehension to know the love of Christ for you, you will never have the confidence to believe that such an incredible and enormous wealth is already yours. All the treasure vault of grace has been given to you. The Word of God says, I have given you all grace. All the treasure vault of all grace has been given to you to perform the good work which he's begun. I don't earn it. I don't merit it. Because that is the complete oxymoron of what grace is. How could I earn grace? That's not what grace is. How could I merit grace? Can't. Grace is freely given. And he has freely given me all grace. And he has freely given me all things that always supply in superabundance every good work that I should walk therein. Amen. Now, all that treasure vault of grace that's been given to me to perform it all, the pinnacle of it is to give me the faith to truly believe that his grace and the word of his grace will grow up into me, that I will be confident in the work of that grace to have me ruling and reigning jointly together with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We don't have much time. We just got to get to the point of the story. But that is the truth. Go read Romans 8. Go read through Philippians, Ephesians, Colossians. Round it out in Revelation and see who the one is that descends from heaven having the glory of God. That will be his queen, his wife, yes, the one who will rule and reign jointly together with him. But yet, most people want to pass by and think, well, that's just all good and said. Everybody's going to be that. Well, they're not. The majority of Christians are shown in heaven that they're ones that decided, I could only be a servant. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto you. What message will you hear? What, again, will you believe? Well, the majority of the Christians seen in heaven, you know what they're called? They're called the innumerable multitude. You know what they're doing? They're waving palms just like a servant. You know where they're standing? Before the throne, looking up at the throne. Who happens to have in that throne the bridegroom and his wife? And it says in the word of the Lord that his wife hath made herself ready. She gets ready before she gets there. And you know how she got ready? By hearing this message. Song of Solomon said that that Shulamite who represented the bride that again married the king, she had a little sister. And that little sister, she saw all the wonder of, again, being a bride and being a wife and all of these things. But the problem with that little sister is she was still just a little girl. It even got pretty specific. It said she had no breasts. She wasn't mature at that time. And she was nowhere near ready for a wedding. Oh, she could be a guest. She could come and observe. And happy is the family that comes. But yet, who are the two most glorious ever at a wedding? And I've had the privilege to do many of them. That bride and groom, when they're truly in love, and I know they're looking at one another, you ain't there and I ain't there. It's just them two that are there. And that's happening right now with those that are truly living in that love, that truly, as we've jumped over there to Ephesians, that we would comprehend, that we would know the love of Christ. Amen. Isn't he wonderful? Now, this is what he purposed in himself. He purposed his life in us to grow fully up. I didn't have children to have them continue to be a baby. I loved them as infants. Incredible. We even have pictures of them. I'm sure in some way, shape, or form, God has pictures. I mean that. Not, you know what I'm saying. He knows all. He encompasses all. Yeah. He adores us. Don't you think that this is the God that knows the hair on your head? He don't remember, again, you? That he was thinking about in ages past that knew you in the womb. You want to get happy? Think about how much God loves you. You want to have a heart that's just about ready to burst when things aren't going right? Meditate on how much he cares for you. That your steps are ordered. That we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. That I know he perfects even my mistakes. And turns it into glory with him. Now, he purposed his life in us not to remain a child, but to rule and to reign jointly together with him. To be glorified together with him. See, he foreknew that you would believe. He foreknew that you would believe in the blood of the Lamb. And it's in that knowledge that he predestinated us to the adoption. It says that in Ephesians 1:5. Brother Scott, I still can't get over it. Yeah, he uses a guy like you too. Isn't that amazing? Despised, rejected, beeped at. People wave at us, but not in a nice way. But he predestinated us to the adoption of sons. And what I was saying, I can't get over it, is Brother Scott does that Sunday night Bible class. And I was so thankful how he brought out that precious passage about that predestinated to the adoption of sons. See, he didn't, that word adoption was so mighty and magnificent. As you just begin to look at the beauty of what the depth of that word is. You talk about a father who foresaw what you would be to him. That word adoption, it doesn't mean that he just adopted you as a baby. That word in the Greek means fully mature son. That's how he sees you. He sees you fully complete in Christ in you, the hope of glory. Brothers and sisters, every child of God, that's the spiritual DNA in every one of us. It's all the same because it's all him. Its capacity is one thing. It's fully mature. It's fully grown. And that's called a full overcomer. It's all right there. But, without the knowledge of his vision for you, without the preaching and teaching of his vision for you, you will remain ignorant of your inheritance, ignorant of your birthright. You will shortchange the potential. You will waste what should have been. I've told you time and time again, and many of you knew him, I had the most incredible dad there could ever be. Yes, I am biased. But I tell you what, you talk about push. You talk about reminding. You talk about care and love. And you talk about a vision that he had for each one of his children. And you can ask my brothers and sisters. There was a pattern that Daddy saw. There was a pattern, more importantly, that Daddy sowed in us. But what happens if he had that and he knew that, but yet he didn't convey that to us? Even though there would all that capacity and it would be there, that knowledge would have never been passed down. That knowledge would have never been given. Right? So where would I have been? I would have been just as if I never had it. I would have just spun instead of being raised in it with the knowledge of it. All of that would have just gone to waste. Brothers and sisters, the knowledge of the heart of God has been given. And you have that. That life, praise God, is fully equipped and it lives in you. But again, without the knowledge of that inheritance, without the knowledge of that birthright, you will shortchange all the potential and all the wealth that was given to you. Simply, it's just knowing and understanding and believing who you are in Christ. Truly knowing that Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, I pray this is coming together today. See, that's why we need Bible studies. That's why we need prayer meeting. That's why we need to study the Word of God. We need to study who we are in Christ. The wealth beyond imagination, the exceeding riches of eternity that he has made us for him. I have to tell you, I get a little overwhelmed. And I do. A little delirious. To truly not think, but to know that he has called me. To know, praise God, that he has chosen me for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, I've told that to Christians. Well, why do you feel so special? You're that special too. You're that special too. What do you mean, why do I feel so? You're that special too. You have that same life. You have the same word. You have the same calling. You have the same passion for your life. We have the same Father. We have the same Savior. Praise God. We have the same bridegroom who's calling us. if we'll take it. But the difference is, take the grace and want to know. I'll tell you, I don't care if you got a propensity to be lazy in your life. Don't be lazy for this. Don't be complacent. And this ain't out of fear. This is because of love. I know there's something that just lights it up for you in this life. Whether it's a hobby, whether it's your job, whether it's a person, whatever it may be. But by the grace of God, let this light that everything up. Brothers and sisters, I tell you what. I've learned my vocation is the same as Paul. It's yours too. To win him. I know by the grace of God, I am born with every fiber, with every weakness, with every strength. Every event in my life has been put there for one thing, to mold me and make me. And yes, I'm not ashamed of this, to wear a wedding dress. To mold me and to make me to be clothed with the righteousness of saints. I'm getting bold in the Lord. I know what my calling is. I know what my expectation is. That I'm going to descend from heaven. I got a vision. And in that vision, it ain't perishing. But I know I've got a calling. I'm going to descend from heaven with him. Having the glory of God. And you know what? I'm drinking, as brother said. I'm not waiting to drink from that river of living water up there in heaven. I'm drinking from it right now. And if you follow that river, where it all flows from is right there in the midst of the throne of God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you, and we thank you and thank you. Lord, I am grateful that the line upon line is so clear to the light by the word of your grace. I pray in Jesus' name for every life here today that, Lord, we'd make a move for this. That, Lord, that we wouldn't delay. If there's a life here this morning that has not accepted you as Savior, that right now in their heart, they would just call upon the name of Jesus. As you said, whosoever calleth upon my name shall be saved. How simple, how wonderful. And ones that would be hearing this message, maybe for the first time. Yes, there is more. Oh, hallelujah, there's more. There's the much, the more. And Lord, I'm so thankful, God, that in this day, in this age, you are pouring it out. To them that will know, they will know the will of God. I thank you for that. I know it's of you. I know it's only your grace and your mercy. And I thank you today that you must increase and we must decrease. And we give you the glory for now and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.